So let's just pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word and for this wonderful book of Romans. Please continue to be with us as we look at it this year, that your Holy Spirit would guide us into your truth and grow us as your people. Amen. So Romans 8, 5 to 17. Christians are spirit-filled people. Christians are spirit-filled people. When non-Christians hear that we Christians are spirit-filled, they might think we mean we're drunk. Indeed, that is how the Jews in Jerusalem thought about the apostles in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit first came upon them. But what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or more importantly, what does it mean to live life in the Holy Spirit? You know, for a long time now, I think my favourite Bible book has been Romans. And part of my story and growth as a Christian was listening to John Piper's preaching through Romans. When I used to drive to work in the IT industry, I'd take the long drive in Sydney from Cronulla Beach all the way over to North Ryde, a battle up King George's Road, and I would listen to the preaching of John Piper on my stereo in the car through the book of Romans, and it was a formative time in my faith, and I was so encouraged. I think Piper actually took 20 years to preach through Romans, so it won't take us that long. But as we look at the book of Romans this morning, we keep hearing about the Holy Spirit, don't we? We keep hearing about the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit has triumphed over the effects of sin and death. We keep hearing how the Christian is meant to live life in the Holy Spirit. So our question for today is, what is life in the Holy Spirit? If we are those who have lived in the sinful nature, then how do we live by the Spirit? What is life in the Holy Spirit? That's our question from the passage today. And as we go through, we're going to see 4 points about life in the Spirit. The first one is that it relates to the mind. It relates to the mind. Have a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So firstly, we see that life in the Spirit here relates to the mind in verses 5 to 8. Paul says that the life we live will be according to what our minds are set on. We see there in verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but alternatively, who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You see, is our mind set on our old life of sin, or is our mind set on our new life in the Holy Spirit? God has given us a brain. God has given us a mind. But it's important what we do with our mind. Will we set our mind to living the life of holiness and the Spirit? Now have a look at how Paul describes this in verse 6. He says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So the sinful mind, the sinful person, in a sense, is totally opposed to God. They are unable to follow God's laws. They are unable to please God with their life. And it all starts in the mind, we're told here by Paul. Living by the Spirit or living by the sinful nature, in a sense, is a matter of the mind. It depends on what we've decided to set our minds upon. Now, I can remember being a uni student or perhaps a uni student Christian worker. I did both. And I can remember being at Wollongong Uni and hearing our chaplain, Richard Chin, preaching to us where he started singing a children's song as an illustration. And the song he sung was, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then he added, on TV. We've sung that song at church as well, I think. But that song is about what we're filling our minds with, isn't it? You see, we need to be careful what our eyes see, even on TV, because what our eyes see is what we fill our minds with, and it impacts our minds and our hearts. So be careful, little eyes, what you see, even on TV. You see, Paul is warning us to have our minds set on what the Spirit desires. That is how we live according to the Spirit. And we're going to talk about it a bit later, but we have to have our mind set on the Spirit, which is to have our mind set on God's Word, the Bible, which we'll talk about a bit later. But firstly, we've seen life in the Spirit, it relates to the mind. But secondly, from verse 9 to 11, we see life in the Spirit, we are controlled by the Spirit. Have a look at verse 9. He says, "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So life in the Spirit is about being controlled by the Spirit. See verse 9. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Now, isn't that encouraging? That in the gospel, we are not controlled by the sinful nature, by that sinful life, but that the Holy Spirit lives inside us, that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us, that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit helps us to live the Christian life for God. The Holy Spirit helps us to push that sin away, as we see in verse 9. We're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. So we see in the second half of verse 9 that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. We see in verse 10, "But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, your body is as good as dead because of sin." That old life is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the new life, is alive because of God's righteousness. Paul is saying here that our old life is essentially dead. The life, the old life of the fall, the old life of sinful man in us, we should consider as dead. But look at verse 11. "If the Spirit of Jesus, of God who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give new life to our bodies through the Holy Spirit who lives in you." This is so encouraging, isn't it? The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and just as he gave life to Jesus, he will give new life, new spiritual life to us so that we can follow the Lord. This is saying the Holy Spirit will and does give new life to the Christian day by day, transforming us day by day so that we can live for the Lord. Now, one of the most important topics in the Christian life is something called the doctrine of our union with Christ. We touched on it in Romans 6 when we looked at Romans 6, but the point of this teaching is to remind us that we are united to Christ. That is, that we died with Christ and that we have been raised to new life with Christ. What that means is that our old life without God really died with Christ. We were crucified on the cross, that old life of sin. But our new life now has been raised with Christ, just as he was raised. We're raised to new life as well. That is, we are united to Christ. And so we now live a new life, a risen life. We've been raised with Christ, a new life in God by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. You see, this is the point of these verses here, isn't it? We are now to live the new life by the Holy Spirit. We are controlled by the Spirit, not by our sin. See verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So friends, we need to put sin to death in our life, just as if it was crucified on the cross. And we're going to see that in verse 13. Because we are now living the new life in the Holy Spirit. So friend, yield your life to the Holy Spirit. Yield your life to God's power. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. And remember, you've been united to Christ. And you now live a new life, a risen life, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ and with Christ. Well, we've been asking the question, what is life in the Holy Spirit? We've seen it relates to the mind. We've seen, secondly, we are controlled by the Spirit. But our third point in this passage we see is we have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. Have a look at verse 12. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we have an obligation, it says, as those who've been united to Christ. But what is it? What is it? Well, we see there it's an obligation to live according to the Spirit. We see in verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We have an obligation as Christians to live according to the way of the Holy Spirit. If we live according to the sinful nature, it says there, we will face eternal death. If we live according to the sinful nature, it says there, we will face hell and judgment. But see in verse 13, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That is, if we've been changed by the gospel, if Christ has saved us by his cross and the Holy Spirit lives in us, then by the Holy Spirit we can put sin to death and we can go on to eternal life. Now, one of the Ten Commandments is obviously you shall not murder. It's clear in the Bible, God does not want people to murder another person. That is not okay according to God's law. But have a look at verse 13. There is one thing we are meant to kill. And what is it? It is our sin, isn't it? If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. Friends, are we doing this in our life? Are we putting sin to death in our life from day to day? It means get ridding the sin of that you're doing in your life. Are we doing this? Are we putting our sin to death? It means to eradicate sin from our life. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do this, don't we? By the Spirit, it says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Why? Because look at verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. This goes on to our fourth point about living in the Spirit, and that is that we have become the children of God. We have become the children of God. Have a look at verse 14 again. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption. And by him, by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. That is the Aramaic word for daddy, Abba. That's what we call God, our daddy, our Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you know that? You know that, don't you? The Spirit testifies with your spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children. Now, if we are children, verse 17, then it gets even better. We are heirs. Go to the lawyers. Sort out the estate. It's between you and God. You are an heir. You are a co-heir with Christ. How? If indeed we share in Christ's sufferings in this fallen world that we live in. in order that we may also share in his glory to come. I love these verses. Aren't they wonderful verses? We have become the children of God. We cry out to him, Father, Abba, Daddy. His Spirit lives within us and testifies with our spirit that we are his children, that he is my daddy in heaven. We call him Father. These beautiful words, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And more than that, we are heirs, heirs of eternal life, heirs of the great riches to come, co-heirs with Christ, our elder brother in the family. If indeed we share in his sufferings, that we might also share in his glory. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. It gives us great assurance in our faith, great encouragement. We can call on God, we can call on the very God as our Father and trust in the closeness of that relationship that we have with him. We are his children. And he loves us. What does it mean to live in the Spirit in Romans 8? We've seen it relates to the mind, verse 5 to 8. We're controlled by the Spirit, verse 9 to 11. We have an obligation, verse 12 to 14, to live according to the Spirit. And verse 15 to 17, we've become the children of God. This passage is calling us to live by the Spirit and to not live by the sinful nature or even by the law, but to live by the Spirit. I want to take us back to earlier in Romans 8 to clarify this. Have a look at Romans 8, verse 1. Through the cross, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Can you see there in verse 2 that the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, has set us free from the law of sin and death? Can you see in verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? In verse 3, what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, that God actually did for us by sending his own Son to be like us and to be a sin offering. And so in verse 2, the law of the Holy Spirit sets us free from sin and death. And in verse 4, that we can actually live out God's law. We live not according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit, which helps us to live out God's ways. You see, friends, we've been set free from sin in order to serve God by the power of the Spirit within us. The call here in this passage is to live by the Spirit and not live by the sinful nature. Now, I mentioned earlier that if we're going to live by the Spirit, then we need to be living with the Word of God, because the Word and the Spirit go together. So are you sowing the Word, the Bible, into your life? Are you reading the Bible, meditating on it? Are you letting God's Word, the Bible, speak to you and grow you in your life? Theologians say that God grows us by his two hands, so to speak, his Word and his Spirit. Romans calls us to be led by the Spirit, and so the challenge is we also need to be led by the Word, because the Spirit uses the Word to grow us. So how are we exposing ourselves to God's Word and sowing that into our life? That's a question for us all to think about. Just a story to close. When we lived in Griffith, we met a lady, I'll just call her Joy. She'd been a missionary overseas for many years and was now back in Australia, moving around Australia and working in the allied health industry. We were sitting in our backyard in Griffith, and she was telling us about how she'd retired as a missionary, and she still, from day to day, experienced God's presence and a relationship with God by doing her daily devotions with God. She said every day she was listening to the sermons of R.C. Sproul, an American spokesman, and she'd been greatly encouraged in her walk with God in that way. You see, this lady Joy was being led by the Spirit, wasn't she? She's been set free from her sin by the gospel, but she's letting God's Spirit grow her through the preaching of the Word. You see, will we do the same? Will we fill our minds with the Spirit? Put that sinful nature to death. Yield control of your life to the Spirit and rejoice that you are a child of God. Be led by the Spirit, living by the Spirit and not by the sinful nature or by the law and legalism. Because verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being in our life. And through Jesus and the gospel, thank you for doing all that we have needed to be saved. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to guide us on this journey with you. Help us to keep living for him and with him. In your name we pray. Amen.